Good evening, folks. Welcome to another edition of Behind Frenemy Lines, where we bring on an opposition supporter to talk about the big game coming up this week. And tonight, we are luckily and thankfully joined by JB from the Brisbane Lions Fancast. JB, how are you, mate? Welcome.
Yeah, good, mate. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to do these from time to time. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's not very often we get to play at the G, so it should be fun.
Yes, no, it should be an interesting game to say the least. Before we get stuck into it all, though, I do like to ask the guest, how did you become a Brisbane Lion fan and how did the podcast side of things start for you?
Well, it was a family thing. So I grew up in Melbourne and we all family was an old Fitzroy family. My granddad played for Fitzroy back in the 40s, so didn't really have much of a choice. It was the last time Fitzroy were any good, actually. So, So, yeah, just sort of followed them from a young age. The very first game I went to as a kid, I was about six. It was at the MCG, and it was Fitzroy's last game in Melbourne where you guys smacked us by 151 points.
I just
clearly remember Darren Gasper having an absolute day out that day. So just followed them as they merged and moved out of Melbourne in about 2013, 2014. Figured Brisbane, at least I'll get to watch my team play, and it was pretty garbage for a while. There's a few little highlights along the way, like the miracle on grass and things like that. But it's been pretty good over the last few years, and I got to see you guys win a premiership up here as well, which is a bit strange.
What was that actually like? Not so much the premiership part, but with the football hub being up there, did a lot of things change at all in the terms of media or just the whole football landscape? Did anything change at all, or was it just much of a muchness?
There was a little bit more coverage here in Queensland, obviously, because like everyone was here, and I think Palaszczuk was premier at the time, and she was trying to make a big deal about it and things of that nature. And having all the clubs up here was pretty cool. And, you know, if you wanted to go watch St Kilda Essendon, you could. So that's one thing I do miss about being in Melbourne. I could just go to the footy whenever I felt like it. I'd go to 2 or 3 games a weekend. So it was a bit of a throwback to that. And then, yeah, the grand final was completely, like, I just managed to get a ticket as a guy.
Oh, did you? Nice.
Yeah. So I went with a couple of fans that were Geelong fans, and actually one Geelong fan, one Richmond fan. So I was the mediator across the night. But, yeah, it was a great day. See Gary Ablett play his last game of footy and obviously watch you guys win your third in 4 years and watch a Dusty show.
He was pretty good in that last quarter. Well, for the whole game, he was typically pretty good. But, yeah, that final bit of play where he snapped that goal in the pocket was pretty special.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We won't be forgetting that anytime soon. So I've been to a few more grand finals since then, and one not so good, one was pretty good.
Yes, well, you must be buzzing still after last year. Like you know, they're hard to win, but to finally sort of break the duck, I guess. Fags has had a pretty good team, I reckon, for a long time. And I think there probably could have been some times along the way where maybe there was temptation to try a new coach. Would that be fair to say, with sort of falling short a couple of times?
Last year, a lot of the fan base was really getting stuck into Fags. And I guess the narrative that was, yeah, he's a good man manager and he's probably taken this list as far as he could. And we needed someone with like a little bit more ruthless edge or some sort of a little bit more tactical nous or whatever it is to get us that final step. But, I mean, the man's had a lot to deal with over the last, you know, 24 months with that whole Hawthorn thing. He's had his own health stuff. But, yeah, like, obviously, he stuck around and I'm glad we did. And now he's signed on for a couple more years. And, yeah, I think everyone loves him. Like, he's just such a nice guy. And the players seem to really respond to him. And, you know, we've built a list. And a lot of the players that have come, like Charlie Cameron and Lachie Neal and Josh Dunkley and all those over the last, you know, 5, 6 years, they've all said, you know, it was a sit down with Fags that was the thing that got them across the line. So he's obviously doing something right.
You've almost been a destination club because not only, well, you added those players, but then you've got the Ashcroft times too, which is, they're just phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I mean, the jury's still out on Levi. He's only had a couple of games under his belt, but he looks the good so far. He's managed to crack himself into a premiership team. Since round one, so he can obviously play football, and obviously we saw what Will could do on grand final day last year as well. So he's finally got a full preseason under his belt. I'm hoping he's going to have another big year.
Well, I think they're off to a good start. I think was it Will? I think had a good game last week, but big game coming up on Saturday. Richmond sitting in 15th, coming off an 82-point loss against St Kilda. Now, ironically enough, the week before we lost by 72, then we lost by 82. So I'm hoping that the trend doesn't continue up in 10s into a 92. Although I do remember last year you belted us by, what was it, like 130, 140? It was horrible.
I don't think it was quite that bad. I think it was 119. But
it felt worse watching. But yeah, hopefully that's not a pattern that keeps going. And the Lions are sitting third after a 9-point win against Geelong, which I thought was a really good win for you guys.
Yeah, we've had some really slow starts each week, trailing by sort of 20, 30 points at halftime each week. But last week, definitely to do it against a team that I think will be top eight, if not top four, come the end of the year. And yeah, especially in round one, they looked indestructible. So to do it against them was really good. The week before against West Coast, it was a little bit worrying. And I'm hoping we're not going into halftime this weekend 5 goals down.
That would be somewhat of a shock for your supporter base and ours, I think, if that was to happen. Now, this stat's been rolled out, and I'm pretty sure Chris Fagan's across this as well, so I'm sure you are too, that the Lions somehow haven't beaten Richmond at the G since 2009.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That seems quite remarkable. I remember there was one game in recent memory. I think it was raining quite a bit, and there was a bit of a comeback later on in the game. But yeah, it's interesting that he's gone down the path to use that as a bit of ammunition just to break that sort of, not, I want to say a curse, but just to tick that off the list.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't played you guys a lot at the G in those years. Yeah. And I mean, for a long period of time, we were quite garbage and you weren't exactly a whole lot better, but you were definitely a tier above us. And then obviously you guys got really, really good and would hand it to us. We came close a couple of times. I think we got out to maybe a 40-point lead a couple of years ago, and then you guys pegged it back, and Darcy Gardner shit the bed at the end there, and you guys pinched the win. But yeah, I'm hoping we can try and cross that hurdle off the list.
What do you reckon's been the turning point for the Lions? Like we sort of mentioned off air, it felt like there was a bit of a hurdle with just making that final step to premiership glory, and now you finally got there. What was it that you think changed for you guys last year?
God, I've got no idea, because last year was so strange in the fact that we started 0-3. We went to the bye like 4-6-1. We got smacked on Anzac Day by the Giants. And then all of a sudden, the back half of the year, everything just sort of clicked. And then the finals, yeah, we took care of Carlton. That was sort of a non-event. But then, you know, the huge comeback against GWS, and then again the week after against Geelong. And yeah, it just really all did click on grand final day. So I think there is something to be said about, you know, 5-6 years worth of finals experience, and you know, Brisbane and Richmond played a great couple of games across final series during 2020 through to 2022, with a couple of qualifiers, prelims, that elimination final with Joe Danaher kicking the goal on the siren, all that sort of stuff. So there was just always teams slightly better than us, and you guys being one of them, and then Collingwood got us. You know, they had a dream run in 2023. Yeah, there was just, I don't know, we just seemed to lack a little bit of mental strength. But I think just now, especially last year, we'd seen every game scenario possible. And I guess we've just built that belief that we can sort of win from any position. It seems to be showing in the first couple of weeks that no matter how far we're down, we know how to work our way out of it. Our, you know, save the game mode seems to be in good order. Our try and win the game mode seems to be in good order. And yeah, especially across last year, we just saw every situation, and we know when to start moving the ball forward, when to take a bit more risks. So yeah, I think maybe that's it. Just years of battle hardening.
Yep. And now it's all for starting to pay off. So like I said, the scrappy wins are often the best way to win at this time of year. So that, yeah, definitely traveling very nicely. We'll bring up the changes for both teams for this week. So in for Brisbane is the Big O. Was it illness last week? Is that why he was missing against the Cats?
Yeah, I think he had a bit of a stomach bug or something, and it was sort of an 11th hour call that he was missing out. But, you know, Darcy Fort, as we know, can come in and fill that role quite nicely. But it'll be good to have the Big O back.
Yeah, he's going to be a good matchup for Nank and Will McLaughlin. I don't know much about him. What's his story?
So he was a mid-season pick last year. So we had a whole host of mid-season picks because we did all those ACLs last year. Nice. He was our first pick, Geelong Falcons fella, small forward, but a bit taller than Kai Lohman, can take a decent mark. Similar player to a Link McCarthy. So he's only played the one game so far a couple of weeks ago, kicked 2 goals. So hopefully we'll get a few more games into him this year. But yeah, he looks all right.
And missing out is Darcy Ford and Kai Lohmann. Is Lohmann injured, I think, isn't he? And Darcy Ford, well, makes sense because he's not Oscar. So straight swap there. And for the Tigers, we've got Sam Banks has come back in after concussion protocol and Ryan Mansell missing with the 3-week suspension. We were all a little bit shocked. Well, not shocked, but Banks coming in seems like it was probably going to happen. But I think a lot of us thought maybe after the game that we had had that there might have been a few more forced changes. Kane McAuliffe in particular was one that was bashing down the door. Two really good VFL games in a row. And he's not even listed as an emergency. I did get a message that he might have a niggling injury, which would explain why he's not there. But yeah, we were really shocked to not see some more changes, especially to add some speed in. Because there's a few concerns around, you know, some of your players probably being able to torch us a little bit on turnover and around the ground. But yeah, just the one change. Would there have been any other changes that you would have liked to have seen, or are you happy to roll over with a fairly similar lineup given that you won?
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to fix what's not broken. Obviously, just really hoping for Brandon Stasevich to come back in at some point. He's generally one of my favorite players and one of the best small defenders in the comp. Well, obviously being pretty biased there, but I would like to see him come in at some point. But, you know, Noah Answorth is pretty handy down there, and Jasper Fletcher's been playing a bit of footy down back as well. So yeah, no need to change anything unless we sort of have to. Tom Duday's playing his first game in the VFL this week after three knee recos. So fingers crossed he can get through that unscathed.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what team players play for. You never want players to be going down with injuries like that. So hopefully he gets through. Cause that was a really sort of interesting trade. Or was it trade or free agency? How did he?
It was free agency. Yeah. And I think we got him across on a 3-year deal, and he played a game in the VFL last year, and he was set to make his debut last year. And in the last minute of main training, he did his ACL again and missed out. He did the press conference and everything. It was such a pisser. And it was around the same time that Link did his and Darcy and all that sort of stuff. So it was just not a great time. But he'll play VFL this week, and if he can crack his way into the team across the next 10 weeks, I'm sure he'll get some game time. We didn't get him across to play VFL.
No, exactly right. He'll be, as soon as he's fit and ready, he'll be straight into the ones, no doubt. Who would be the unlucky one to miss out once he's back fully fit? Who do you think misses?
It's a really tough one. It is a really tough one because that back six is really solid. And, you know, the like for like is Ryan Lester as that sort of tallish third defender. But Froggy has done absolutely nothing wrong to get dropped. Froggy's Ryan Lester. To get dropped. Like, he absolutely blanketed Jeremy Cameron last week. He's a premiership player now. He's such a solid contributor and one of my favorites. He's been surviving on 1-year deals for the last 10 years. So he's probably, unfortunately, the likely one to make room, or unless they do some shuffling around. It's hard to tell.
Can be a tough gig as a coach sometimes when players start coming back. Especially when you're playing well as a team. But like you said, you didn't bring him across to play in the twos.
Yeah.
Now, looking at your side on paper, it honestly bats quite deep, especially in the midfield area, which is probably an area of the ground that we're struggling. We're struggling in a lot of areas, but I suppose as supporters, we feel like we're struggling there a little bit. Is there any way that all of these players that go through your midfield are going to have an off day all at the same time? I mean, Bailey, Berry, Lockie Neal, Dunkley, Ashcrofts, McCluggage, just some crazy names that roll through there that can all do a really good job.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that they all drop off in the one day. Like, Josh Dunkley is just a solid competitor every week. It doesn't matter what job he's got, he will give it his all 100%. I think McIntosh is probably likely to sort of do some sort of roll on Neil across the night. And he got tagged out of it completely against Sydney. Mm-hmm. And he had a bit of a run with roll last week with Atkins and Mark O'Connor. And he was still good without being lighting the world on fire. But then it does mean that Hugh McCluggage and Will Ashcroft and the like step up and fill that void. So, you know, it was for a period of time, if you shut down Lockie Neal and maybe Charlie Cameron, then you're probably going to beat Brisbane. But thankfully, that's probably not the case anymore, which is good.
Because, yeah, you're right. Lockie Neal sort of has looked to be a bit susceptible to a tag, as most midfielders are, because of the quality of opposition taggers these days. The interesting thing that we have is, like, Camden McIntosh in round one did do the job on Cripps. And even though Cripps got 34, they weren't all effective, which was the aim of the game. But the last 2 weeks, he hasn't really done the same type of job. So it's a little bit strange. Rosie got 39 touches. He did a little bit, I think, for the first half against the Saints, he stopped McRae, which was effective. But then the second half, he didn't do it, and Sinclair or a whole raft of players got off the leash. So I'm kind of with you that he needs to do a job, and preferably on Neil, but he could find himself rotating around depending on who's getting a lot of the ball.
Yeah, it might be a case of, you know, just stick to your game plan for the first quarter or first half, and then if things really do start blowing out, you know, if Lachie Neal is really ripping you apart or McCluggage or something, then you might need to make some moves to try and stem the bleeding. But
yeah.
Yeah.
The problem that I think we have is I'm not sure if we can just go head-to-head with opposition midfields anymore. I mean, we had a look the other day at some of the centre bounce attendance stats, and Taranto and Hopper for us almost exclusively always in the midfield. I think Taranto's missed only 4 or 5 for the entire year. And we've got a few question marks about the balance in there. So what really worries me about your midfield is their pace. Like, the Big O is a very good ruckman, and Nank's probably undersized for a ruckman when you're sort of comparing to everyone else in the competition. So if we don't get first use of the ball and we don't win clearance numbers, I fear how easily the ball might exit, because, you know, Dunkley, Neil, McCluggage, the Ashcrofts, they've all got pace better than Hopper and Taranto anyway. So it's going to be interesting to see how we try and stop that.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie. I think the midfield is where we should get on top.
Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a super strong part of the ground. And even if we look at your back line, Jack Payne, Harris Andrews, I mean, we'll talk about a specific matchup later, but they are two pretty solid plays to try and get past, and we've pretty much got the one known key forward in Tom Lynch, obviously. I was actually really surprised we went with Harry Armstrong again this week. Nothing against the kid. It just looked like he was getting a little bit tired in his first year of football. But yeah, we have to somehow make sure that Lynch is a focal point and can take some heat away from those other guys. But yeah, you've got pretty good players all over the park that could trouble us.
Yeah, I think Harris Andrews and Tom Lynch, they've manned up on each other for years now, ever since Lynchy was at the Gold Coast. They've had some great one-on-one duels over the years. And I think the split over the years is probably about 50-50. There's some weeks Lynch has got, you know, a hold of Harris and then vice versa. But I wouldn't be surprised, because you've really only got the one sort of designated tall forward, that Jack Payne probably might actually get that role this week and try and free Harris Andrews up a little bit to intercept.
Which makes things even harder for us, because the games you speak of where Lynch might have gone 50-50 with Harris Andrews, that's largely because Jack Rerol's probably next to him and has to draw his own attention, so you can't kind of peel off. But that's kind of the issues we've been finding, is that Jack, like Bower and Armstrong, while very, very young, don't really command that same respect yet. So we either have to lower our eyes and try and use them to make the opposition accountable, because if we just bomb it in high, it's just going to be far too easy for Harris Andrews to pick off, which won't be a pleasant day out for Tom Lynch.
No, and probably the other person, I mean, we'll probably get to the other defenders, but the other person you probably need to think about is Dane Zorko, who generates so much of our attack, and at 36 years old is ridiculous. Like, his kicking skills, like, he makes his decisions really quick, and more often than not, they're the right ones as well. So maybe that could be a job for McIntosh as well, to just sort of keep him busy.
He's gotten better with age.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and even for him to take on board the reinvention, the new role that was given to him, he's just smashing it. He's doing extremely well. And you're right, he's another one that we have to keep an eye on. It's like, how many players can we tag, though?
If you spend your whole time worrying about what we're doing, then you're not going to get your game going at all. So I think... Let's be honest, where you guys are at, you just want to see some semblance of getting a consistent game style week in, week out. And yeah, you're going to cop some beltings. That's the reality of where you're at. But, you know, at least you've got 3 flags in very recent history to look back on to keep you warm while that happens.
That's it. And I think that's where, I suppose, the perspective of how we're playing, you do have to look back at those flags and be like, okay, it's been worth it. It's just a part of the footy cycle. If you don't have those flags and you're in this situation, probably a bit of a different ball game, but
look,
last week we had a pretty good first half against St Kilda. I think we're only 8 points down at half time, but the third quarter we got obliterated. And a lot of it was to do with some of our moves. So Jacob Blight was playing in the back line, and then he was also relief rucking for Nank. And Uze actually admitted post-game that, like, whilst we need Blight to ruck, taking him from the back line actually didn't work because it just destabilized everything. So it's actually interesting to note on this lineup. I know these lineups don't really mean a hell of a lot from a positional standpoint, but interesting to see that Blight's named on the bench and not starting on the field, so he's not taking from the back line as such. So it's going to be interesting to see where he plays. And that's why we thought that Campbell Gray or Samson Ryan might have been a sneaky chance to come in as well, just to help with that actual second ruck option. Who back up rucks for you when the big O's off?
Well, so we've got Sam Day across from the Gold Coast to sort of fill that Joe Danaher hole as a sort of forward that can do backup ruck. He's two games in now. I'm going to probably hold off any sort of criticism or anything until he's got maybe five or six games under his belt so he can work in our system. But, yeah, he's serviceable. He creates contest up forward. He can bring the ball to ground. He's usually a pretty reliable set shot. He's just not Joe Danaher, I suppose. And who knows? I think we're probably going to hopefully make a play for a sort of big name key forward at the end of the year, but that remains to be seen.
It's a big miss, Joe. Well done to him, though, retiring on winning a flag. And given that he almost pulled the pin the year prior, it's a good way to go out.
Yeah, and to walk away from $1 million, just, you know, the man just marches to the beat of his own drum and we'll never hear or see from him again. He's gone just now.
Fade off into the distance.
Yep. And good on him.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny how, like, as supporters, it all means so much to us watching them play and the players playing, but to them, it's literally sometimes just a job and they don't even like it. It's just what they're good at.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, even though you probably don't need to do too much in this area, what are the key things you're looking at Brisbane to do to win this game?
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I'm reasonably confident that we should get the job done. It's things like getting Cam Rayner involved in the game a little bit more. He's had a pretty quiet start to the season, only really hit sort of double figures once in his disposals total. Just not letting Tom Lynch kick a bag would be ideal. And I think we just have the maturity and the connection to be able to run this game out. I mean, you're a bunch of kids at the moment, and we should be able to just run it out in a more mature fashion, I would say.
Agree. I think, if you're a Brisbane fan, you're just looking at a workmanlike performance, reigning premiers for a reason, get the job done. Looking at some of our player stats, we've got 14 players with 15 games or less, seven with 10 or less games. So we're definitely not well placed from that standpoint, but it is what it is. It's, I suppose, from our perspective, what we're looking for. And one thing that's been a little bit annoying, the first three games, really, that's when the games were sort of beyond doubt, especially the second two, that we still kept the same type of midfield. Like, you still saw Taranto Hopper, Ross McIntosh, but I feel like that we need to be getting minutes into Seth Campbell, more centre bounces for Lawler, and just actually rotate things around and give them some exposure. If the game's cooked, there's nothing to really lose on that front. So I think we're kind of looking for that to happen at some point. I guess we're kind of hoping to be competitive with you for a half, but that still might mean being four or five goals down at a consistent flow. But yeah, I feel like it'll break open in the second half, like what the St Kilda game did, if not earlier.
Yeah, I mean, quite possibly. And it's the same thing when we played you last year. In the last quarter, we were putting like Bruce Reville in for central bounces as well, because in the opposite way, like we had the game sewn up. So let's try and do something a little bit different here and expose players to different roles. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm not sure. I do like Seth Campbell. He's a really crafty forward and obviously has a great goal sense. So I do like him up forward. But, yeah, to see Lawler in the middle for a few CBAs would be pretty cool.
Yeah, nice to get that up around the 20 mark across. If I'm sure there will be 20 at some point this week. Now, if you were coaching against Brisbane, what type of weaknesses would you try and exploit of your own football club? Is there anything, any kind of chink in the armor that we can look to try and weasel our way into to prolong the pain?
Take care of Dane Zorko would be step one. If you can annoy him and get him out of the game, you're going a long way. Sometimes our defensive spread it can be pretty lazy, and that was pretty evident last week in the first half against Geelong. They seem to have numbers on the weak side more often than not, and they seem to move the ball really, really quickly and well. And then small forwards have been a bit of a weakness of ours. We've got Noah Answorth, who is like a defensively minded small defender, but you know, Wilmot and Zorko, they're more your attacking defenders, and then McKenna when he's playing as well. Jasper Fletcher has been a little bit of that ilk, but with Brandon Starcevic out, if you can get some small forwards to create a bit of havoc, like last year, Jack Higgins kicked five on us, Cozzy Pickett kicked five on us. You know, the Geelong small forwards seem to have their way when they play, so we are susceptible to small forwards.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, well, we'll have to rely on that taking place then. And funnily enough, when we talk about matchups, I actually sort of had Seth Campbell maybe doing a role on Zorko.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. I think because he'll learn a hell of a lot from someone like Dane Zorko, who just knows how to find the football, and he's going to lead him to the right spots in a lot of ways. But I feel like that Seth Campbell might be our best chance in making Zorko somewhat accountable, because he does have that goal sense and can hurt the other way if we can get the ball inside 50 efficiently. I would have said Mansell if he was playing. He would have actually been a much better matchup, because he's got a bit more grunt and physicality about him, which Zorko may not like, whereas I can't see Seth Campbell doing that, to be honest. So we'd be kind of banking on him hurting him on the scoreboard, but I'm sure Zorko will still try and do his own thing no matter what.
Yeah, I think like, obviously, you know, Dane Zorko is, he's a dickhead, but he's our dickhead and we love him. if you get under his skin, it can derail him, definitely.
We're almost at a spot we've got to try anything. This one we spoke about briefly as well, Lynch versus Andrews. It's always a good matchup. I just feel like, and I know you said that Payne could actually get the job as well, but I don't know. I feel like they might get reacquainted at some point in the piece. And I feel like it'll end up being weighted into Brisbane's favour, just because I think you will ultimately have the ability to double team him at some point. But Lynch will play angry, so maybe he'll try and rough up Zorko to try and throw him off his game. Who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's a loose unit.
It goes back to the Gold Coast days as well, Lynchy. Yeah. There was a period of time where he was just finding himself in strife for a few weeks in a row. Like, I think he might have hit Sam Collins from the Gold Coast, and he smacked Alex Witherden's head into the ground, and he was just had a bit of grub about him for a month there. But yes, he definitely can get a bee in his bonnet when he comes up against Harris Andrews, because I think they respect one another and they've had some good one-on-one battles.
It's definitely a healthy respect place that it comes from. And I think with our age profile of our list, I think sometimes he feels like a father figure to some of these kids as well. So trying to fly the flag.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Like, I think you would actually be more disappointed as a supporter if you didn't see your experienced players flying the flag if a youngster was getting pushed around. And that's why we love Nank as well, because he throws his weight around and we'll try and lead by example physically. I'm sure, speaking of Nank against the Big O, is going to be another monster matchup, like two big giants going at it. Oscar's no stranger to throwing his weight around either. So it's going to be fascinating to see how they both go. But what worries me is the height factor from Oscar and just how good of a tap ruckman he actually is.
Yeah, I think Nank's actually had some good games against Big O though as well. I think just Nank's physicality can get to Oscar quite a bit. And I think there was a couple of, I think maybe it was a game down in Adelaide or something like that. Nank just really got a hold of him. And the way he can actually push up forward and help out, and then also push down back when needed to and take some intercept marks, run him around the ground. Nank actually worries me quite a bit with Oscar. Like, I love Oscar and fantastic ruckman and a super bloke. But when he comes up against those really physical ruckmen, like what is that fella from GWS?
Briggs?
Briggs, yeah. Like, when he comes up against those types, like Nank and Briggs, and that's when he can get a little bit out of sorts. So I think that'll be a good matchup.
I think what maybe offsets it a little bit this week for you is, I suppose, the quality and strength of your midfield. Like, even if Nank was to somehow get on top and win more than his share of taps, a problem that we've had recently is opposition mids have been good enough to rove to his tap, and our work for the next possession out of stoppage has not been great. So if you get it on the outside quick enough, it could get ugly quickly. So I'm kind of hoping that we somehow work out how to structure that up a bit to try and protect the outside area a bit more. I don't know whether it's an outer ring. I'm not too sure. I think a little bit of it as well is youngsters maybe finding it a bit more difficult to to implement that for a whole four quarters, and it just at some point just falls away.
Yeah.
But no, it should be good to see the two Giants going at it. Any other final thoughts on the game? It seems like it's going to be pretty one way, but anything else we should be looking out for from a Brisbane or a matchup perspective? Maybe the rain might save us if there's any rain on its way. I'm not too sure what the forecast is down here, but
we'll have a look.
Although, to be fair, you've played in your fair share of torrential rain up there at the Gabba.
Yeah, it's been strange. We had a belting hot day in Sydney for week one, and then week two against West Coast, it was midday, 31 degrees and 100% humidity, which is absolutely disgusting. And then we had that game against Geelong. So we've had a bit of everything. So a nice day with a slight breeze at the MCG would be a welcome change, actually.
It'd be good
to get back to the MCG and all the Victorian fans that... It'll be their first time there, potentially, since the grand final. I'm sure they'll have some fond memories of the day. And, yeah, like as I said, we've had some pretty good matchups over the last 5-6 years. And while we're in different positions now, it does still feel good to beat Richmond when we can, just because we've had that sort of...
Yeah.
In that time when we were contending, you were always the guys to beat us, you know. So
there were some pretty big finals games.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a grudge there, but not really. It's sort of like, it's our turn now, so...
I definitely felt the full bruntness of the grudge. I actually was up at the Gabba for, would have been one of the qualifying finals. It was just lucky that we were there on holiday at the time that the fixture fell. And I remember being at the game, and whoever does your PA announcing and whatnot, the Richmond theme song was literally on volume one, if that. They gave us nothing. I'm like, fair play. Like, make it seem like a cauldron. Like, I didn't like it, but I respected it just to make it a hostile environment. So, no, I could definitely understand the grudge coming out there. But what's your prediction for the game and what's your final margin? Don't go easy on us. If you think it's going to be 92 as per the 10s trend, feel free to go with that.
look, we haven't been playing our best footy. I wouldn't mind a percentage booster, if I'm honest. I think we should beat you by around 10 goals. Like, all things being equal, with where you're at as, you know, likely to finish bottom four and where the reigning premier is with a group that's been together for a long time and, you know, good age profile and all that sort of stuff, like, we should beat you by 10 goals. But you never know. You know, you just have to be a little bit off and you never know what can happen.
Yeah, and look, I tend to agree. 10 goals probably seems about where your starting point would be. And no doubt you would have seen what St Kilda and Port Adelaide did to us and be able to do much of the same thing. But yeah, if we can hang tough for a half, that would be nice and just try and prolong the inevitable for as long as possible. But yeah, always a big ask when it's young kids up against a mature and more experienced and a very good quality outfit. So just one of those games where it is what it is. So yeah, I would tend to agree that's... Yeah, I just hope
we don't take you lightly because we saw what happened with Carlton in round one, obviously. And by the way, that was amazing. Thank you so much that you've already done the funniest thing this season.
We did see a lot of thank you messages just from supporters in general. It just made everyone's day.
and we took West Coast lightly, I think, and we saw what happened there. So I really hope as much as I'm sitting here saying, oh, we should win by 10 goals, I really hope the players aren't going with that mindset and they actually front up and don't, you know, phone it in. So because anyone on any given day, like you, it was this time last year, you guys, you know, belted Sydney at the MCG as well. They were what, 5-0 at that stage or something like that. So
yeah, they were flying.
I don't think it's a gimme, but all things being equal, it should be a win.
I think that's fair enough. And it's just about creating good habits, I guess, from your guys' perspective. John, fair call. Lions have one of the best mids. This game will show how far behind we are. Yeah, I think it definitely will. It's honestly the pace at the top of the list of the things that concern me the most. So, and I just don't think we can tag absolutely everybody. But we'll give it a crack, and I'm sure there'll be hopefully a decent amount of fans there on Saturday. There could even be a substantial amount of people at the VFL beforehand with Josh Smiley making his VFL debut. I'm sure that'll draw
that'd be good.
A reasonably big crowd. But hopefully we get a few at the G. And like you said, a lot of old Fitzroy fans will no doubt be out in force as well to see the Lions. But JB, thank you for jumping on, mate. Appreciate your time. And all the best for this weekend. I think you'll definitely come out the more happier of the two of us. But all the best for the rest of the season for the Lions as well.
Oh, mate, all I can say is best you do it now before Tassie comes in, because Like we've been, you know, the Brisbane Lions have been exactly where you guys have been. And, you know, we made the mistake of making finals in 2009 and Vossi at the time thought we were closer than we were. And then we got in Andrew Raines from you guys and, you know, Matt Maguire and Xavier Clark, and that just set us back. And then we had to rebuild with GWS and Gold Coast coming into the competition, and it set us back so far. So yeah, I think you guys are doing it properly and doing it well. Like you've just gone, you know what, full, you know, Baker, Graham, it would be nice to have on the list for that sort of experience and leadership, but
yeah,
you might as well get the picks in now before Tassie comes in, and by the time they do, you'll be back up there again.
The timing has been as good as it could have been if you were to actually plan it.
To
get 8 picks in one draft, obviously completely unprecedented. But yeah, you kind of fear or feel for the teams who do drop off once Tassie enter and they just lose all access to all picks. We were kind of similar. We were struggling a lot when GWS and Gold Coast come in, so we didn't really get access because of the mini draft and all that kind of thing. So yeah, hopefully it pans out. But you know, it doesn't matter who you pick. You've got to make sure you develop them and get them to the right level as well. And that's a whole different saga. But fingers crossed, we get at least half right.
Yeah, I mean, you've got enough to work with there. And if you can hold on to them, that's the other thing, is like we couldn't hold on to talent for the life of us, you know, 15 years ago. But as you said, thankfully now people sort of want to come here, and hopefully we're not back down the bottom end of the ladder around 28, because otherwise it's going to set us all back again.
Yeah, no, exactly right. No, you're definitely a destination club. Paulie, I'll just address this one quickly. So McAuliffe missing, I actually had a text that he's actually got a niggle, so it's not because the Uze doesn't want to play him. Although the proof will be if he's not playing in the VFL, which I think gets announced tomorrow, the teams, then that'll kind of check out that he does have a niggle, because yeah, he had two really good games in a row. And I thought he was an absolute shoo-in to play, but then I got that message. So hopefully that rings true, because I'll be really flat if it's based on just not wanting to play him, because that seems absolutely crazy.
But I think he played maybe one of his first games last year up here at the Gabba, and he was really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're not the knock on him, but they wanted him to build his tank. I think he played three quarters last week only because he was a carryover player for the AFL, and the week before was the same again. But even in just the three quarters of both of those games, he racked up about 28, 29 touches, 8 or 9 clearances, same amount of tackles. I suppose we kind of just feel like he might add a point of difference to the midfield. But yeah, like I said, I'm hoping it's because of a niggle and not because they just didn't want to play him or they want to give him a full game in the VFL. I don't know. I'd rather get a full game in the AFL, but yeah, we'll soon find out. But again, JB, thank you, mate, for joining us tonight. Much appreciated, and all the best for Saturday.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. You heading along?
No, not heading along. That's got the three kids at home, so it can be tricky to juggle getting him to the football, especially with the youngest one. He would just be an absolute nightmare to go with. But if I can get that sorted...
My little boy's 2.5, and I've tried, and it won't sit still. It just wants
you're
to run.
You're kind
around.
Of thereabouts. We've got the 6-year-old will be fine. He'll sit there and watch it. Yep. The 4-year-old will watch about a half, I reckon, before wanting to go kick the footy. And the 1-year-old's 1.5-year-old is no chance. But yep. if we can get them sorted, and the wife doesn't want to go, she's a Hawthorn supporter, so she may want to stay home. But otherwise, I'll try get along. But we'll see how we go. All right, well, enjoy the rest of your week, mate. Thank you again, and good luck for Saturday.
You too, mate. Appreciate it.
No worries. Until next time, everybody, go Tigers.